welcome to another episode of What Matters in North Carolina. Today, we will be speaking with someone from the outside, someone outside of the office, and that is ESP Associates Manager David Key. Now, David Key's company works with emergency flooding software called Fiman and some other stuff as well, but we're talking on the segment mostly about the relevance of this program during hurricane activity or leading into hurricane activity right now in the heart of hurricane season. Where is the flooding going to be? How bad is it going to be? And that, and David can tell you about where to look to find that information out, as well as when you're just looking to buy a house, finding out about your risk and if you're in a floodplain and what a 100-year floodplain really is. So you're going to make sure you want to tune into that segment right after this. But first, let's talk about subscribing, because if you're not subscribed to the show, you're missing out on the easiest way to get the show to your device, namely by just going and searching What Matters in North Carolina on Podcast Addict for Android users or another app, or on Apple Podcasts for iPhone users. Subscribe, get the show to your device, and it will take no effort from you. Now, that helps you for all the new episodes and also the older episodes of What Matters, but if you want to listen to other shows on the Freedom Action Network, you can do that on freedomactionnetwork.com. And the way to do that is just go freedomactionnetwork.com, go to the top shows. You can go select the NC Gun Dad show or the Free to Brew show and listen to them there. But again, that is all about you hearing from us, but we want to hear from you. And the way to do that is go on Facebook and Twitter and searching What Matters NC, and then we can hear from you. You can see what our other activities we're doing outside of the show are, and we can all conversate and have conversations there. Now, without further ado, we will get into the segment with David Key. So now we are speaking with David Key, who is a division manager with ESP Associates, who does a lot of work with floodplain mapping for both the state emergency management and also FEMA. David is also the chair of the NC Association of Floodplain Managers, and thank you for joining us today, David.
Good morning.
So we are right in the heart of hurricane season here in the state, in the southeast in general. We've already had a couple of hurricanes that came and were major in other areas. We had Irma in Florida and Harvey in Texas before that. But with the season definitely not over yet, North Carolina, who has largely escaped any real major effects from any of the hurricanes so far, could be looking at something in the coming weeks, right?
Yes. Definitely.
Right. We're definitely still not out of that. So we, and one of the biggest problems with hurricanes that is not so much the wind power or damage from that, but it's more flooding, correct? And that's the major danger, the most lives lost are from flooding, which makes what you do so important.
Yes, definitely. We've all seen in the past, especially even last fall with Hurricane Matthew, the wind is bad. Storm surge is bad, but North Carolina is prone for having storms stall over our eastern counties, and even in our western counties that come in from the Gulf and dump a lot of rain in a short period of time, which can cause devastating flooding like we saw in late October of last year.
Right, and one of the, I guess, best, you know, one of the things that, there's a couple of things you were saying before we started talking for this interview that you do to help with this, and one is looking at things ahead of the storm, but also real-time updates while storms are going on, while all this heavy rain is coming in. Is that right?
Yes. North Carolina Emergency Management has, in my opinion, one of the most robust flood warning and flood mapping and alert network in the nation. It's an award-winning site that they've been working on for the past, I'd say maybe 10 years, and it's really had a major overhaul in the last couple of years, and it's called FIMAN. That stands for Flood Inundation Mapping and Alert Network. It's a public site that's open to the public and to planners and emergency management officials, and it provides not only information about the rivers and how high they are, but it also provides real-time flood inundation mapping for selected areas and estimates of the impacts, coupled with forecasted information every 6 hours or 72 hours ahead of the time that the information is viewed.
And so why is it so important to have that real-time update?
I think a lot of people, historically, flood information has been conveyed to the public in terms that it's hard for them to understand. You may see nationwide, you may see stories like we saw this in Harris County in Houston, where they talk about a certain river site or river gauge, as they call it, is going to peak. You may hear them say it's going to peak 4 feet above flood stage. Well, most people don't understand what flood stage is, and they definitely don't understand what certain feet above flood stage is. And the beautiful thing about North Carolina's Fineman system is that it shows citizens and users of the site how far the floodplains will extend out beyond the river, where the roads will be closed, what buildings will be impacted, and it shows it in a map. So you can find your house and find if you're in harm's way. Just communicating to someone that a flood river or a river is going to peak 4 feet above flood stage really doesn't give them the information they need to take action. And that's the beautiful thing about some of the technology that is in the Fineman system. It shows it in a map. It's easy for folks to understand where it is now and where it's going, where the floodwaters are going.
Right. So whenever you say that the creek down by my house is going to be 4 feet higher than usual, that translates to a much larger footprint for that creek or that river you live next to. I mean, 4 feet up is I don't even know how many feet over the banks or all to the side. And that kind of gives people an idea, I guess, of what they're looking at.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of folks don't. It's hard to convey flooding in real time to folks because a lot of times folks don't know where they live with respect to a stream that may flood. And, younger generations and even, you know, everyone's more map-centric these days and using software like Google Maps and navigation. And we understand maps a lot better than just hearing information about how high a river's going to be. Seeing it on the map lets it sink in, and hopefully folks will understand that they're near a flood-prone area and there are steps that they can take to move valuables, to move cars, or to be aware of flooded roads to not drive over them.
Right, and that just seems like a dead useful piece of technology. And I didn't know about this Fineman system before, but now after we've talked about it, going and looking where my house is, and I knew I wasn't real close to a river or a creek, but it would take a heck of a lot of water to get near my front door, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the system is growing every year. They're adding more sites and they're adding new technology. So it was used during Matthew. It was well received during Matthew in the State of North Carolina Emergency Operations Center, sometimes referred to as the EOC. Real time during the disaster to know where to direct first responders, to know where to alert the public. We had good, the media found out about the website. They even used it in their forecast. Some of the local television stations used it in their forecast to help convey where the water was and showed the actual mapping on the website to people during their 6 p.m. forecast, which was a huge win for conveying and communicating flood risk to the public. Is whenever you get it part of a weather forecast, it's great for us that have spent our entire careers trying to help communicate people that they're in a high risk area.
Right. I'm just thinking about, so from a public interface point of view, it's so useful to know where the water is. I mean, if you want to get out and evacuate, or if you're trying to get somewhere and you go, oh, this road is flooded. I mean, I think about where I live in Johnston County, and during Fran, and then also Matthew is a lot of the same kind of effects, and roads that are just by the river just totally flooded out, and this software can show you that. Or for emergency management, the increase in efficiency of being able to look and know where the flooding is, to know where to send people, as opposed to sending out people to see what's going on and scouting things out, and maybe you send resources somewhere they don't need to be. It just seems like on a public interface point of view for the people, for emergency management, it's just a win-win all around.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's a great example of leveraging the vast amount of data that is available. And when you combine that data that's available with a robust piece of software, and then if you combine that with everyone having a device that's A, connected to the web, and B, has some positional or location awareness, even a phone, knows where you are and is connected to the web for the most part. If you have a smartphone, for the most part, those two things are true. So you can pull up sites like this, whether you're at your house, whether your power's on or your power's out. If you've got a cell phone, you could see what's at risk around you, and however you can push that information to the public. It's just another step in helping those folks take action that are in harm's way.
Right. And so, but this isn't, so we're talking really about during a hurricane, during a major flooding event, or not just a hurricane. So what is this system doing on a normal day, on this Monday? What is this system doing for us?
Well, I'm looking at it today, and the system is pretty boring on a day like today. We've got about 500 sites in the system, and when you go to the website, you go to the website by just Googling North Carolina Fiman, F-I-M-A-N. It's really just showing the current status of the gauges, and we have a color-coded system that goes from green for normal and goes to yellow for yellow means that it's in a monitor stage, and then it goes to different shades of orange to red to purple, which would indicate major flooding. So on a day like today, you can see a lot of normal, a lot of green, and so it's on a site like today, you could go to the site, you'd explore if there's any warning locations near your house. You can use it to sign up for alerts. You can sign up for an email alert or a text message alert, and users can do that on a sunny day, if you will, and during a flood event, or if it's forecasted flood, the system will send them a text message, and it will tell them that, you know, the current conditions have changed from normal to monitor, and the forecast conditions are predicting moderate flooding or major flooding. And you can, on a day like today, there's not much you can do on the site except for just browse the information. Another thing that's available to the site is you can go on at any given time and go into what we call a scenario mode, where you can have there'll be a little toolbar, and you could use a slider to show different flood level impacts. So if you hear that Hurricane Matthew reached a flood stage of 20 feet, you could go into that slider and slide it over to 20, and the map will change to show you the flood inundation at that level. And so that's a tool that's in the system to show kind of let citizens and planners and public officials do a what-if scenario analysis. What if we got Hurricane Floyd again? Or what if we got a major flood? What would it impact? What would that flood look like? So you can take some steps to be safe.
So would this be useful? Let's say I'm going to buy a house, and it is kind of close to a river. Would this be useful to kind of see what it would take to get yourself in trouble with the water at your house?
Well, yeah, that's a double-edged sword. Remember, we've only got about 500 locations statewide where we have these sites that show the flood warning, and so we're not covering every mile of stream or river in the state. There's another site that if I were looking for a new home, I would definitely go to the flood risk information site that North Carolina Emergency Management maintains, and that's Flood Risk Information System, And that site will show you the flooding for all streams that have been studied in the state. And what that site shows is the official FEMA 1% chance floodplain. Some people refer to that as the 100-year flood, but it's really a flood that has a 1% chance of happening every single year. And so for folks that are interested in buying a piece of property or interested in their own property, they should go to North Carolina's Flood Risk Information System and key in their address and see how close they are to a floodplain. And there's some great information on there about mitigating your risk by exploring flood insurance opportunities, even for folks that live outside of the floodplain. So to answer your question, I wouldn't necessarily go to the flood warning site to see if I'm in harm's way. I would look at, first I'd look at the flood risk information system.
And that's something that you've worked with as well, right? The working with the 1% flooding maps.
Yes, North Carolina Emergency Management took over the management of the flood maps from FEMA at the national level 16 or 17 years ago. And what that taking over of the mapping task allowed is for some of the highest quality maps in the state that are managed locally by the state of North Carolina instead of being managed by FEMA regionally. And that site has over 30,000 miles of rivers mapped in the state, very, very accurate mapping on the best available data in the nation. And yes, we played a part in that, and we played a part in developing that flood risk information system that folks can go on and see where they are with respect to the floodplains in their community.
And how do you, I guess, how does you find a 1% flood chance? I mean, and I guess we can't dig too deep down into the science of it. I'm sure it's pretty complicated, but kind of at a high level, how do you go about finding out these values?
That's a great question. There's been a lot of science on the probabilistic prediction of river flooding. We use, in our industry, we use a combination of those 500 sites across the state of North Carolina are measuring river volumes every 15 minutes, and they've been measuring those for decades in the state. Some sites in the state have been around for 100 years. So the longer the period of record you have of measuring these rivers, the greater your reliability in predicting what would be considered a 1% chance flood. So a lot of the input is actual measurements dating back a century, you know, in places like Neuse River and Raleigh and Winston-Salem and Greensboro. There's sites all across the state. And we combine that with other, what I call empirical data, to develop equations where we can predict the 1% annual chance flow of water and then use that to predict how high and how wide that floodplain is going to be with inputs such as a 3D model of the land. So a lot of science goes into it, but there is a margin of error in there, but we're getting better and better and better at predicting. For instance, we were able to compare the estimated or the probabilistic modeling of that 1% chance flood to the actual Hurricane Matthew event last year. And some of the results were extremely accurate, showing that the mapped floodplains on the FEMA maps were very close to matching what actually happened with Matthew in the areas where it was statistically a 1% chance flood. Probably a long answer to a short question. But the big takeaway there is we use a history of gauge measurements, river measurements in the state dating back to the turn of the 20th century.
No, that was definitely a good answer. So I guess that's kind of the check in the box. You know, it's a double-edged sword there. We get this, you know, Matthew-sized event, and you realize that all the work you've put in has been very accurate and, you know, very good work, but the downside is to find it out, we have to have one of these 1% floods.
Yeah, with a state as big as North Carolina, you've got 50,000 square miles, and we have a hurricane season every year, and we also have flash flooding in the west, and we also have hurricanes coming in from the Gulf. So with a state the size of North Carolina, you are going to get a 1% chance flood about every year in some location. Remember, one key takeaway about percentages is a house that's inside the 100-year floodplain, the 1% chance floodplain, has a 1% chance of that flood occurring every year. So it has a 1% this year and a 1% next year and the 1% the following year. So what you see is over a period of 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, that 1% gets compounded such that a statistic that I like to use to communicate is over the course of a 30-year period, which is the term of a typical mortgage, if you are at the edge of a 1% chance floodplain, that 1% chance every year compounded turns into a 26% chance of having some flooding on that house in a 30-year period. And that hits home to people that say, well, I'm in the 1% chance flood. That means I've got a 99% chance of flooding. That's true this year. And so you roll that die again next year, and you roll it every year for 30 years, you've got a much higher chance of flooding. And for homes that are flooded more frequently, that number goes up to 95% chance for a flood for a home that's deep in the floodplain. But to get back to your question, yes, it's a shame that we have to have an event like Matthew to be able to validate some of our products. But it's a good feeling to know that those products were there to help shape development and help shape mitigation planning for in this case, our eastern county. It could be our western county next year.
Right, and I guess the positive point there is you're right that this technology was there to assist when the flooding came.
Yes.
And so
the data was there, the investment had been made over 10 years, and there's a lot of reasons and a lot of facts to show that that investment was paid off.
Right. And so my next question is, knowing all of this, when you're buying a house, are you willing to buy a house in the floodplain, in the 100-year or the 1% floodplain, or are you going to buy flood insurance and still buy the house?
Well, for me, being the person that's in the industry, I would do my research. I would be hesitant to buy a home that's in the floodplain. The next thing I would look at is, what's the elevation? You may have a home that's in the floodplain, but it's elevated. Take an example. There's a lot of homes that are in the floodplain at Wrightsville Beach, but they're elevated 2 feet above the floodplain. So that's a different story. I would look at the elevation of the home, the elevation of what we call the first floor elevation. But personally, since I deal with this, you know, day in and day in, and I have for 26 years, I would be cautious about making my largest investment be in an area that's in harm's way. Talking about flood insurance, I would also look if I'm on the edge of a floodplain. If, say, my house is just on the outside of that line, if you will, of the 1% chance flood, there are policies that citizens can buy if they're not in a floodplain that are extremely cheap. They're called preferred risk policies that are almost fraction of the cost of a policy that's inside the floodplain. And as we saw with Hurricane Harvey in Houston, and even Hurricane Matthew in North Carolina, you're not guaranteed that the flood that hits you will be a 1% chance flood. It could be a flood that's even higher. And so just looking at that flood map, like, I'm inside, I've got to purchase, I'm outside, I don't have to purchase, is not the way to look at it. The map should be used as a guideline for how close am I to a high-risk area. And then you can make a decision. You can consult your local floodplain administrator with the town you live in or the county you live in and get some good, solid advice about, you know, should I invest in a flood insurance policy even though I'm outside but I'm very, very close? Hope that made sense.
Oh, definitely it did. Thank you. And I guess my question now is, have we missed anything?
No, the one thing I'd like to say, that if anyone's listening to this and wonders what their flood risk is, remember there's 30,000 miles of maps, floodplains in the state, somewhere around 30,000 map miles of floodplain. Just because your stream isn't mapped that you live beside, or the creek that you live beside isn't mapped, doesn't mean that you're not in a risky area. And really, I'd urge folks to take advantage of looking at some of these very, very inexpensive policies and realizing just because you're not in an area on the FEMA map that says you're going to flood doesn't mean that you don't have some risk. And these policies are cheap enough to buy and give you some peace of mind for your home and your belongings that it makes really, really good sense to buy one. A really good friend of mine lives in Houston, and he flooded a month ago or 3 weeks ago with Harvey, and I talked to him since then. And he doesn't live in a floodplain, but he said, you know, he said, David, I had a FEMA policy anyway, and it was the best decision I could have possibly done because it was such a cheap policy, and my belongings were covered.
That's great. So I've actually pulled up this the state system,
yes,
and I've measured now to the closest floodplain on the map, and I've got a mile. So I think I might be outside of that range.
You should be fine, and if you and I do this for friends and families all the time. I'm always happy to do checks and tell you my opinion. But if you're a mile away, you're pretty good.
I would think so. But anyway, thank you for coming on and talking with us about the emergency side of this flooding software and flooding program, and also just the everyday side of it.
Yeah, well, it's my pleasure. This is my passion, and it's real important to me to keep getting the word out about some of the products that are out there to help us all make good decisions.
All right. Well, thank you, David. Thank you to David for coming on the show. Thank you to you, the listeners, for tuning in for another episode of What Matters in North Carolina. And I will not bore you with the details again, but subscribe, follow along on social media, and check out other episodes on freedomactionnetwork.com. And we'll catch you next time.